Hello, this is Donna Reed with the Illinois Radio Readers, and today we're going to be reading from the Rantoul Press, the week of October 17, 2018. Let's look at a front page story called Some Stability. It has a picture of former Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower on the front. The story is Smith Village Board took its time crafting administrator contract. This is by Dave Hinton. While new Rantoul Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower, he will officially start his duties November 5th, will be paid $35,000 a year less than the starting salary of current administrator Rick Snyder. He has a chance, though, to increase that pay grade if he goes to college. Eisenhower, longtime mayor of Danville, will receive $100,000 a year to start. Both Snyder and his predecessor, Jeff Figenscholm, had master's degrees in public administration when they came to the Rantoul position. Snyder earned $135,000 to start, and Figenscholm earned $118,000. Eisenhower has an associate degree in applied science from Danville Area Community College. As a condition for continued employment, Eisenhower is required to earn a bachelor's degree from an accredited college or university on or before December 31, 2021. Upon graduation, he will earn an additional $10,000 a year. The degree can be in any major. The new administrator may also earn another $20,000 annually upon earning a master's degree in public or business administration, or in city and regional planning. There's no mandate that Eisenhower earn a master's degree to retain his job. The village will reimburse Eisenhower up to $7,000 per fiscal year for the cost of any of the educational course or courses. He would be required to repay the village the cost paid or reimbursed to him for pursuing his education if he resigns within 2 years of his starting the job as administrator. Eisenhower's hiring was formally approved by a 5-0 vote at last week's village board meeting. Trustee Henry Gamel was absent. Resident Deborah Sweat was the only member of the public to comment about Eisenhower's proposed hiring prior to the vote. She told the board she was disappointed. She said the village changed the hiring requirements listed for the job in terms of education to allow Eisenhower to be considered for the position. Sweat called the search process flawed when the position description was recrafted to accommodate the lack of educational credentials for the finalist, which leads me to believe there was another case of collusion regarding the two finalists. Sweat said she was concerned the trustees were not out to better the community, but themselves. She said the village should seek, if it does not already, ethics training for every elected official and municipal employee. After the meeting, however, Mayor Chuck Smith said the board did not change the requirements so Eisenhower could land the job. He said the job posting listed a graduate degree was preferred, but not required. The qualifications weren't changed, Smith said. We just knew what it would take to run this village. We put at least 15 years of experience in there. Nothing was designed to attract one person with a degree or another person without. Smith said the board wanted the best candidate. He said the hiring process included three panels of people to cull through the applicants. We had five people on the actual selection process committee, citizens and other government officials, Smith said. He called Sweat's public comments an ill-conceived idea for someone who is not paying attention to the process because everything was made public. Responding to a reporter's comment that some people wondered why the negotiating phase appeared to take so long, Smith said he and the board wanted to get it right. It took a while to put the contract together because it's a different contract than what we've had before, Smith said. We wanted to make sure that the parameters of that contract are acceptable and also achievable because there are some performance issues in the contract, the education incentives. He said a special board meeting was held just to go over the contract with the board. We just took our time, Smith said. There's not a big hurry here because we wanted to do it right. This is the third administrator I've worked with. I think Rantoul needs some stability inside this position. Smith said Eisenhower has 15 years of practical experience in municipal administration. He's actually been in the bullpen and doing that job, Smith said Eisenhower applied for the village administrator's job when Snyder was hired last year. Eisenhower was not a finalist. Smith said while the board would have preferred someone with a master's degree, it wasn't a must. We did not have a minimum education requirement. Smith said the village board has been very creative in how they helped me put this together, and he liked the creativity and when he's and was exhibited that was exhibited because we got an excellent candidate. In requiring Eisenhower to attain a bachelor's degree and encouraging him to earn a master's degree, Smith said the new administrator is in a professional world now where these types of degrees are recognized as being on a more professional level. I think it will also help him enhance his life, Smith said. Eisenhower is also required to attain his city manager's designation from the International City County Management Association. Other contract terms. In other terms of Eisenhower's contract, the village will pay all of his group health and major medical and dental insurance premiums, equal to that provided for the other village department heads. The village will also pay the premium due for term life insurance amounting to his annual base salary. He will receive use of a village automobile. Eisenhower will be required to move to Rantoul within 3 months of starting the job. If he opts to build a new home in the village, the time limit for him to move to the community will be extended to 12 months. The village will pay for all of his moving expenses, up to $5,000. New jobs. Ironically, the reality threat of a change in their jobs led to both Snyder and Eisenhower seeking other employment, which led to them landing the administrator's role here. Snyder began looking when Champaign County, for which he served as administrator, opted to change to a county executive position, effectively eliminating the administrator post. Eisenhower began looking when a proposal was placed on the November 6th ballot to make the mayor's position in Danville a part-time one and create a city manager. His current position at Danville Mayor is a full-time one. Let's take a break from the front page news here and read some area obituaries. Thomas Gillespie. Thomas Gillespie, 60, of Urbana and Fisher, died Sunday afternoon, October 7th, 2018, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Mr. Gillespie was diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis in October of 2017. Celebration of life services were at 5 p.m. Saturday at his home in Urbana. Burial was in Woodlawn Cemetery, Urbana. Visitation was from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday at Morgan Memorial Home, Savoy. Vicki L. Hastings. Vicki L. Hastings, 64, of Milford, formerly of Loda, sister of a Rantoul resident, died at 9:14 p.m. Wednesday, October 10th, at OSF, St. Joseph Medical Center, Bloomington. Funeral services were at noon Monday at Bayer Family Funeral Service, Paxton, with the Reverend Deborah Domier officiating. Burial will be at a later date in Pine Ridge Cemetery, Loda. Visitation was from 10 a.m. noon Monday at the funeral home. Roger Hazelwood. Roger Hazelwood, 62, of Rantoul, formerly of Iowa Falls and Eldora, Iowa, died Tuesday, October 9th, at home. A memorial service will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 20th, at Trinity Church, 1658 West Walnut, Watseka, with the Reverend Bart Custer officiating. Earl Jones. Earl Jones, 94, of Danville, an Armstrong Township High School graduate, died at 1:05 p.m. Sunday, October 7th, at Grandview Manor. A celebration of his life was at 1 p.m. Saturday at Hope United Church of Christ with the Reverend Frank Haas officiating. Burial was in Embury Cemetery with military rites conducted by Potomac American Legion. Visitation was from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday. Delanus Oliver Harpool. Funeral services for Delanus M. Oliver Harpool, 77, of Champaign, mother of a Thomasboro resident, were at 3:30 p.m. Saturday at Heath and Vaughn Funeral Home, Champaign. The Reverend John and Reverend Susie Dieters officiated. Visitation was from 2 p.m. until service time Saturday at the funeral home. Mrs. Oliver Harpool died at 8:18 p.m. Friday, October 5th. Robert Campbell. Robert C. Campbell, 92, of Oakwood, father of a Penfield resident, died Sunday, October 14th, 2018, at Colonial Manor, Danville. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Thursday, October 18th, at Sunset Funeral Home. Visitation was from 1 to 2 p.m. Thursday at that funeral home. Charles Kibler. Charles Chuck Kibler, 66, of Fisher, died at 11 p.m. Wednesday, October 10th, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 20th, at River Valley Church of Christ, 17 Owl Creek Lane in Fisher. Burial will follow in Willow Brook Cemetery, Fisher. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday at the church. Evelyn Rice. Evelyn Babe Rice, 97, of Urbana, formerly of Potomac, died at 1:20 a.m. Sunday, October 7th, at Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana. A celebration of her life was at 11 a.m. Friday at Middle Fork United Methodist Church, Potomac, with the Reverend George Desmond officiating. Burial followed the services in Potomac Cemetery. Visitation was from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Earl Winfrey, Jr. Earl Winfrey, Jr., 33, of Tolono, a Rantoul native, died Monday, October 8th. A homegoing celebration was held at noon Tuesday at Mount Olive Baptist Church in Champaign. Visitation was from 11 a.m. until the time of that service. Edith Zook. Edith Zook, 96, of Fisher, died in the early morning hours of Monday, October 15th, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Funeral services were at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, October 18th, at River Valley Church of Christ, Fisher. The Reverend John Scott officiated. Burial followed in the Willowbrook Cemetery in Fisher. Visitation was for 1 hour prior to the service there at the church. Let's return to front page news of the Rantoul Press here. Reading an article entitled Probation, Restitution Ordered, Public Service Also Required. This is by David Hinton from Urbana. A Rantoul man found guilty a year ago of 9 counts of theft, 4 of them felony theft, related to services and goods he took from 8 contractors who worked on his downtown building, has been sentenced to probation. Chuck Duckworth, 49, who intended to fix up the former Litchfield Hardware store at 114 Kentucky Avenue, a store in Rantoul, and turn it into a commercial space in his own living quarters, last Wednesday was sentenced to 4 years probation, ordered to make restitution of $95,331 and to perform 200 hours of public service work. The offenses occurred from August 2014 through August 2015. Circuit Judge Roger Weber denied Duckworth's bid for a new trial. Duckworth's attorney, Jared Adams of New York, argued the offenses committed by Duckworth did not merit criminal charges but should have been settled in a civil court. Adams said Duckworth knew a $50,000 Village of Rantoul microloan to be paid back over 15 years would not be enough to pay for all the contract work on the building. But Adams said Duckworth had received help from his family in fixing up two other properties and had been told he would receive family financial help renovating the Kentucky Avenue building. In trial, he said he had been expecting to receive more than $175,000 inheritance from his father's estate. There's no way Mr. Duckworth goes in and says, "You know what? I'm going to do this work and then file bankruptcy and ruin my credit," Adams said, adding Duckworth had no other choice than to file bankruptcy after the contractors came after his client for immediate payment. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher said Duckworth continued to make contract after contract, despite knowing he didn't have the money to pay off the companies. Fletcher said in one instance, Duckworth told a contractor the Village of Rantoul was holding up some of the work. Adams, however, said Duckworth tried to set up a payment plan with one contractor who refused, saying he needed the money immediately to pay his employees. Fletcher said Duckworth had a chance to make things right with at least some of the contractors. He cited Good Vibes Champagne, which asked to be able to retrieve the stereo equipment it had installed in the building, Fletcher said. Duckworth was not there when he said he would meet Good Vibes personnel and was non-communicative in other retrieval attempts. Flooring specialist testifies. Danny Davis of Davis Floor Sanding and Refinishing, Rural Urbana, said he was not paid $20,195 worth of flooring work in Duckworth's building and had to take out a home equity loan to pay back his loss. Davis said Duckworth wrote a letter to the Attorney General's office complaining Davis had overcharged him by $10,000, did that amount of damage to the floor, and that his men smoked dope on the job and made fun of Duckworth. Davis, however, said he received text messages from Duckworth praising him for the floor work and said he would recommend him to other people. Davis said when he told Duckworth how much the floor work would cost before the job started, Duckworth assured him he had $31,000 in the bank to pay him. Electronics installed. Steve Sutterman, owner of Good Vibes, said his company took a $6,964 loss due to Duckworth's failure to pay. He said his company installed a dozen speakers, electronics to run them, and a television, Sutterman said, Sutterman said one of his staff saw a Facebook garage sale site ad in December 2017 in which Duckworth was selling the TV Good Vibes had installed. Adams asked Sutterman if he could be absolutely sure it was the same TV and whether the serial number was listed, and Sutterman said he couldn't be positive. Wesley Ift, install manager of Lance Heating and Cooling of Champaign, said Duckworth never paid his company for $31,833 worth of plumbing and HVAC work. Fletcher argued for a sentence of 5 years in prison and restitution. He said the contractors as well as the Village of Rantoul were Duckworth's victims. Fletcher said while Duckworth was left with the building, he says he can't resell. It was improved. If he pays his mortgage, he's got a luxury apartment at a discount price, Fletcher said. Adams asked Weber for any alternative that would not put his client in prison. In a statement to the court, Duckworth said he was sorry for the outcome and had never intended to deceive anyone. Prior to sentencing, Weber cited a Tazewell County misdemeanor deceptive practices case involving Duckworth. Duckworth, however, disputed he was involved in that case. Weber said he didn't know if Duckworth would be able to make restitution to the victims and that he would be allowed to seek additional time to do so. Duckworth said he is not employed now and has been having trouble getting work. He formerly was the owner of his own cleaning. Let's continue our front page news here today with an article entitled RTHS Study Hall Incentive Passes from Rantoul. This is by Deborah Rawlings. Rantoul Township High School sophomores, juniors, and seniors will soon be able to earn some time off from school. The school board approved an incentive at its October 8th meeting that excuses qualifying students from study hall on Fridays. Study hall meets during the last hour of the day, so students would be able to leave school at 2:30 p.m. When the proposal was introduced at the September regular school board meeting, questions were raised about students who wouldn't have a way home at that time. Superintendent Scott Amario said that students would not be required to leave, but would have to be in study hall. At this point, because of personnel limitations, there's just not another option, Amario said. I'm guessing that if I were a sophomore and earned it, I would find a way to get myself home. Amario said if a large enough number of students were impacted, administrators would look again for options. I think it's a good idea, board member Jeremy Larson said. To qualify, students would have to earn A's and B's and could not be absent or tardy without an excuse. The incentive could be revoked at administrator discretion if, for example, students qualified but did not meet other expectations in the classroom. An eligibility period runs for 2 weeks concurrently with the eligibility period for the open campus lunch incentive for juniors and seniors. Administrators hope the incentive will encourage and recognize student achievement and at the same time reduce the number of students in study hall so teachers can focus attention on struggling students. Spanish class concerns. The teacher shortage is causing concerns about Spanish classes. Amario said the district has been managing with three teachers for some time. But with the resignation of Emily Bayer in August and Kelly Barnes this month, the team will be down to one by the end of the fall semester. Both teachers are leaving because their husbands have taken jobs elsewhere. We're hoping to hire a December grad, Amario said. If we don't get that, we will explore some other options with virtual schools or online learning. But, he added, those options can be expensive, and an instructional aide would have to be hired to supervise those classes. Personnel changes. Other personnel changes include hiring Terry Miller as part-time custodian maintenance, Jani Vecker as a paraprofessional, and Nancy Rise as bilingual parent liaison. Betsy Alfonso was appointed Level 3 volunteer. Larson abstained from the personnel vote because of one of the hires is a close family friend. In other business, the board approved application for an additional low-limit credit card account at Walmart through the Bank of Rantoul. The new account will allow the family and consumer science teachers to purchase groceries online, which cannot be done using the existing Walmart account. Amario said the new account will save teachers time previously spent in the store and will save office staff time culling those expenditures from the district credit card bill. PE presentation. During a PE team presentation to the board, team leader Chris Wagner said teachers have been incorporating standards-based grading. He also said the state has made sophomore PE testing mandatory. The team had already been doing the testing. Now they must begin reporting those results. A chart on the RTHS website shows results from the four tests. In the PACER test, 62% of RTHS sophomores were in the healthy fitness zone, compared to the state average of 63% and the state sophomore average of 54%. The sit and reach result was 60% at RTHS sophomores in the healthy fitness zone, compared to the state average of 69% and state sophomore average of 76%. The modified pull-ups result was 72% at RTHS sophomores in the healthy fitness zone, compared to the state average of 74% and state sophomore average of 83%. The push-up result was 65% of RTHS sophomores in the healthy fitness zone, compared to the state average of 65% and the state sophomore average of 68%. "I think we can do better than that," Wagner said. PE teacher Tom Hess said the team has looked into ways to encourage students to dress for class. He noted test averages include zeros for students who don't participate. "It's basically a motivation thing," he said. "To provide that motivation, teachers have posted information such as fitness membership costs and how regular exercise enhances success in other aspects of life. I don't know if it's helping a lot right now," he said. "I'd like to increase the performance of kids who aren't trying." Amario told the board he did not have the monthly receipts from the county school facilities, 1% sales tax. In related news, he said Golfview had filed a new property tax appeal. An existing appeal awaits settlement at the state level. Walgreens, United Fuel, and Holiday Inn Express have also filed appeals. That's all for today. This has been Donna Reed reading to you this week of October 17th from the Rand Tool Press. Have a great day.